Good to see you this morning. Glad to be here myself. I'll write a couple words on the board. I'd like to talk to us today about the gift. First off, I'll tell you that my Bible has been gifted back to me. It does look nice. And Jamie and Drew took my Bible, and my Bible that I've had for, I don't know, 25 years or so, and sent it off and had it rebound, and they fixed some pages in it. And so that was my Christmas present from them, and I really like it. So I was thinking about, that wasn't the inspiration for this message, but it fits, so we'll use it. Thinking about the gift of salvation, ultimately the gift of God's Son. And I want to begin by considering another gift, and kind of maybe set the stage for the message this morning. A gift is something that, unless we use it, unless we allow it to be a blessing to us, a help to us, a benefit to us, It goes kind of by the wayside. It's not effective. A gift is something that is provided, but it's up to us to really benefit by it. I have been blessed with a gift. I say that from this perspective. Many years ago, when our nation got started, and I don't know, you'll have to forgive me for not doing more research on this so I could speak intelligently about it, but our nation began, and education was something that only those that were wealthy had it. At the beginning of our nation, those that were not affluent, they learned the same trades that maybe their parents had followed. And if your father was a cobbler, then and made shoes, then more than likely his sons would become shoe cobblers as well. The only alternatives to some of that was joining some kind of military and learning some skill, marksmanship, or being able to manage a ship or something like that through a military experience. And that was all a trickle down, a leftover from the medieval times and dark ages and middle ages and all of that stuff that our ancestors came from in Europe. But maybe I'm wrong, but my perception is the United States was one of the first places where public education became something that was accessible without cost to the individual families. So I know for a very real fact that when I look in our state and our location right here, that the education system by and large is supported by property tax. And I know what it's like to own a piece of property that the assessment goes up exponentially when you take a building that is considered agriculture and you build a commercial building on it, And then they come back and assess it as such. Taxes go from pennies to hundreds of dollars. The taxes, by and large, 80% probably of my property tax and your property tax goes for what? You look on there, and mine says R5 or R7 or whatever, Jasper School District. That's who mine goes. And those of you that live in Webb City, the biggest part of your property tax goes to support the Webb City School District. You live in Diamond, you're supporting the Diamond School District. That's just the way the law. And you know why we did that? We passed legislation so that the little children in the neighborhood that wouldn't have a chance to learn how to read and learn how to write and learn how to do arithmetic and learn how to know what history was and how what science is all about. All of those little children have as good an opportunity to learn as someone that comes from an affluent neighborhood or affluent household. So we have what we call a public education system. And it's been a gift to all of us here today to go to school. And whether you had free lunches or you paid for your lunches or took your lunch or whatever, the support for the infrastructure and the teachers and all that came from taxes. And taxing the population provided a free education. Not free because it costs a lot of tax dollars, but it's a gift. And I would say that if we went around the room and answered the questions honestly, all of us here would have varying responses of how well or how much of a benefit that gift was of us to us. Some of us went to school and we were bored stiff from the first day until the last day. Some of us tried to escape all of the assignments that we could. Some of us avoided taking any kind of class that challenged us. And when we were forced to take a certain class because we had to graduate or we had to pass the grade or whatever, we grumbled and complained about it all the way through. And I will tell you a class that I took because it was kind of out of duress. I had my schedule. I picked, you know, by the time I got to be a junior or senior in high school, and this is probably true for all of us here, we had most of our prerequisites out of the way, and we could choose, by and large, the classes we took, especially our senior year. If we had paid attention on the first two or three years, we could pick whatever we wanted to take. Just classes to make us feel good, we could have done that. And some school districts let you sign out and go to work for a half a day. There's all kinds of things that's opportunities that's available with the gift. And I got down to one of those years, and I had everything planned out that I wanted to take, but there was one class period I had to fill, and I needed something our school district called a fine art to graduate. Well, if you look at me, there's not much fine art in my characteristic. And the things I had to choose from, it got down to where I was betwixt and between picking chorus or typing. And I just knew that I would not enjoy chorus. So I chose typing. And multiple times while I was in there, it was, and my typing teacher, it was one of the last years she had taught, and she had taught nearly all of her career typing and those type of classes. And I know this is dates me, but we had a row at the front of the class that had electric typewriters. We didn't have no computers in that room yet. But there was electric typewriters, and then all the other rows in the class were those manual things with the levers that come around and slapped on the page. And You could get, if you hit more than one key at a time, you get two or three of those levers hung up and you'd have to reach up and pry them back. Y'all, some of y'all remember those days. Well, I was in this typing class and it was like, I want to keep my grade point average up, so I had to try a little bit. I couldn't just flunk out in that class. And I was sitting in this class and like, what in this world am I going to do? I'm going to work with my hands. That was my intent and my purpose when I was in high school. What am I going to do with a typing class? And I had no idea what I would do with typing. But I'm glad I took it. It was a gift. And I look back now and I wished... I can't remember. I ended up with a B in the class or an A. I don't know. I had a pretty good grade, but it wasn't because it was like, oh, I can't wait to get to typing. I really want to learn how to do it. But it was a gift that was handed to me, and the teacher told me how to hold my hands and. You know, we went through all kinds of exercises. So many words per minute, and you had to have less than so many I don't remember all the criteria and stuff like that. I remember typing up something, some story of what I wanted to be or something. We were just supposed to ad lib and write something one day, and we did that. And of course, mine was probably really strange, strangest one she'd ever saw. But anyway, we went through all of that. And you know, I am really glad I took typing now, because I type lots of stuff on a laptop. I make all kinds of notes on repair orders and things that when I first started in my line of work, I scribble something on with a pen or a pencil or something. I don't do any of that anymore. I hardly ever make handwritten notes. I do some because I'm the type of person that does that. But I type a lot more than I ever thought for. And I'm as good or better now than I was when I was in high school at typing. Amazing. But it all was a gift. My parents paid taxes, but they didn't pay enough taxes to support all of my teachers. It was a gift from my community to me. And what did I do with it? I like to think I paid attention in school and that I'd done the best. I'd done pretty good. You know, I look back and say I could have done better. And I would have ventured to say all of us here could look back and say we could have done better when we was in school. I could have learned more. I could have profited more. And maybe I could have made better grades. Maybe I could have really understood what they were trying to teach me. And then when I come up against a problem in life, I could have been able to apply the things I learned in physical science or algebra or grammar. One class that I struggled with when I was in high school, especially, and I never really got it, maybe in grade school and middle school time, was my grammar and my spelling. And I wished I'd have taken more. I wish now that I had taken more advantage of the opportunity I had to learn. I don't know. There's details, and we could go into all the reasons why I didn't today. But it was a struggle for me. And I really didn't profit as much as some of my classmates did in those classes. But it was still there. It was available to me. And I could have prospered more by it and from it. And you can go through a system today. People graduate. And you wonder, how did they graduate? And people pass a grade and you say, they really shouldn't have passed that grade. They should do that one over again. And they don't do so well in life many times. Sometimes it really kicks in and they want to learn something after school, and then they have to pay for it. It's not a gift anymore. So I don't know what you think about that illustration and that thing, that opportunity that we have, but I'd like for us to turn our minds now to a gift that's been given to us, and it costs money. I say it costs money. It costs something. It didn't cost like our money, but there was an exchange that was made. And I'd like to turn to a song we have in our book, number 41. And I'd like to notice some words of a couple verses. In the first verse, it says, "To God be the glory for all he hath done. For life, that's me breathing, being able to take in food and receive strength from it. And all of that, he says, for life and salvation, the gift of his son." The gift of his son. Did you know we've been given, all of us have been given a gift that came from Christ being willing to come and take on humanity and die for the sins of mankind. And verse 2 says, "To God be the glory, to him it is due. His help is unfailing, to us he is true." That's not, there's a verse here, maybe I got the wrong one. It's the phrase is, "For all he doth give us," last verse, "To God be the glory, his mercy extol, for all he doth give us, for body and soul." You know, the human body and any body, animal, creature that God has created, that's able to take in nourishment. You know, my cows eat stuff that I wouldn't eat. But God has designed it to where they receive nourishment and they get fat and will make a big old ribeye for me out of grass. And I'm real happy for that. But our bodies will take in the ribeye and give us strength and stamina from that other people are... It wouldn't have been possible if God didn't give us the ability for our bodies to process that. But not only did he do that, he gave us the ability. There's an opportunity. You know, we take that gift for granted, don't we? The ability to eat a ribeye and process it. We just take that gift for granted. You know, we all take the gift of being able to read for granted. Did you know that? How many of us here can't read today? Anybody in the room? I venture all of us can read. Some of us might read a little better than others. Some of us might have to kind of, well, I don't know what that word is, but we'll go ahead and read the next sentence and maybe it'll start fitting together. Okay? There's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but we can all read. Did you know that we just take that for granted? We don't have to go back very many generations and we find somebody that might bring a newspaper home and lay it down in front of somebody else and say, "Would you read me the newspaper or a book?" I've got ancestors that's not that far back that couldn't read unless somebody read for them. We take it for granted that we can process ribeyes and baked potatoes too. And we also, many times, disregard the value of the gift of his son and the gift of salvation. You know, it's laying on the table for us. And it's here for us. That's why we come here, is we want to talk more about the gift of salvation that's been given to us. And what are we doing with that gift? What am I doing with it? Are we allowing it to be a benefit to our lives and our hearts and our souls? Or are we just kind of skipping through it or skipping over it? I'd like to turn to the story that we have in Luke, chapter 2. And I'd like to begin reading at the first verse. And we'll read down through verse 11. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." So, just bring some logistics to this. Did you know that if your home address is in the Webb City School District, that your taxes only support your children being able to go to free school in Webb City? That's the way the Missouri law. There's other states it's a little different. But if you live in Webb City and you want your children to go to Joplin schools, did you know you have to pay per year for them to go and pay your taxes too? But if you live in Webb City, your school, your children can go to Webb City schools for free. Well, Joseph here, he was from Judea, and he was from a little place called Bethlehem. And for him to be able to pay his taxes, he had to go to Bethlehem. And because he paid his taxes and went to Bethlehem, we'll just read the rest of the story. It says, "Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." So any time that a little baby comes into this world, and it's healthy, and it's able to take nourishment, and it's got all of these little fingers and toes, and we look at it, it's such a beautiful little creature that comes into this world. My latest grandchild, just look her all over. She's just beautiful. Of course, I'm the grandpa, but it's just wonderful to have this little child and be able to hold it in your hands. And Jesus came into the world like that. It's a gift from the Lord. It's a miraculous thing that children can come into this world like that. And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So they were being attentive to this flock of sheep, and it was after dark. That's important to this story. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them, and they were sore afraid." So I read some of what a commentator said, and they seemed to indicate that this light was pretty bright. And I have some pretty bright lights on a little piece of machinery I have that go out when I check on my cows or something. And when I turn it on, I'm telling you, it's like daylight all around this thing. LED lights are amazing. And it seemed to be something of that nature. You're in the dark, maybe a few stars out, and you're able to kind of navigate a little bit. It's not like it was overcast. That's the way I take it anyway. And the shepherds were kind of keeping an eye on the sheep and kind of could tell if there's any maybe wolves coming or something like that. But they're kind of keeping an eye on, and all of a sudden, there was a bright light. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." So the time correlation is that it had to be pretty soon after Jesus was born, maybe that very night, I don't know, that Jesus was born for the shepherds to get this message. And they went, they said, "Hey, let's go see." And they did. they went to see. And they found him just like the angel said. So it was shortly thereafter. Little Matthew here, we don't wrap him up like a newborn baby and put him down for a nap. We lay him down and maybe cover him up with a blanket or something, but we don't wrap him up like a newborn. So Jesus was a newborn when the shepherds came to see him. You know, they could have heard from the angel that you got something there. There's a gift from the Lord. A Savior is born. And they could have real thought, well, there's a gift. I don't know. Man, that's a long ways down to Bethlehem. How are we going to find it? Can you imagine just going to this neighborhood and trying to find a little baby? I don't know. How did you find it? Did they listen for the cry? Did they... I don't know how they found the baby, but check every stable. I don't know. How much trouble would they have got prying into everybody's stable? I don't know. But the point is, they went to look for the gift. They went to look for the gift. I want us to be reminded today that if the gift is going to do me any good, I'm going to have to go looking for it. I'm going to have to avail myself. We've heard about it. We've come to this place. We've come to other places where the service is. And somebody has said in the course of the meeting that there's something good will come from us seeking the face of the Lord. And you know, it won't do us any good if we don't search it out, if we don't try to apply it. That the shepherds went and sought for this baby. They went to see, and we could read some more of this story, and we find out that they not only went to see for themselves, they began to tell others about it. I don't know why they didn't continue to follow after Jesus' developments, but anyway, that was another thought. But they went to search out for him. Let's go to Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and we'll notice maybe a couple verses here. We'll notice the prophecy of this event that the shepherds were able to witness. 9 and 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And the zeal of the Lord of hosts is what performed it and told the shepherds, you need to go down and check the manger in the stable. You're going to find a Savior that's born there, a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they went down and looked. They went searching for this gift. In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, it says, for Christ, 3 and 18 in 1 Peter, let's turn there. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." So this little babe that came, we know that he grew up and became a man. We know we've had little snippets of his life of when he was 12 years old and came to the temple. And then when he was baptized of John and he entered his ministry and he began to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and repent and be baptized. He preached all told all the parables and preached the many messages and done the miraculous things that he did while he was here on this earth. And then he was crucified for our sins and resurrected. And we see here, it says, "Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." He didn't deserve to die, because he was guilty. He came to give us a gift. He came to give us something. He came into this world, and the shepherds went to see this thing. They pursued it. And this scripture in 1 Peter says that the just was sacrificed for the unjust. That's me. I'm the unjust. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. His mortality took on immortality. So what? So your mortality can take on immortality. So you can become a living soul. So you can be adopted a child of the King. So you can be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You know, this is a gift that's given to us. And it's like if we had gifts sitting on the table. Have you ever been to some place and they said, okay, when everybody leaves, we got something for you on the table there by the door. Y'all pick up a pen and a little pamphlet or a cap or whatever. I've been to those kind of things in my life where everybody that came in the room, here's you a goodie bag. You know, they hand you a bag that's maybe got a logo printed on, and inside there's all kinds of advertisement usually, but there's a pen and maybe a pair of safety glasses and maybe a ball cap, and everybody gets one coming in. And sometimes they're on the way out, and you got to be willing to pick it up. Have you ever been to something like that and forgot your gift? I have. When they may have given it to me on the way in, and they may have offered it to me on the way out, and I realized after I got completely away from there, I left my goodie bag. I didn't get home with it. Oh, well, probably wasn't anything in there that really, you know, that's how we look at it many times, because a lot of times it's not life-changing of stuff that's in there, but I'm talking about something that's life-changing here. And it's a gift. It's on the table. It's in the book. It's available to us. But what are we doing about it? You know, I've profited. I can read today because somebody else paid their taxes and gave me the gift of public education. I can, I know that by the something that somebody else discovered and wrote a formula, I know that the reciprocal of the total resistance of a parallel circuit is equal to the sum of the individual reciprocals of the resistors. I know that. And I know how to put my numbers in and come up with an answer. Why? Because somebody paid the taxes and gave me the gift of being able to go to school. I know that I've been given a gift of being raised in a wholesome home and one that read the Bible to me and one that prayed with me and one that taught me how to walk and how to live. And what am I going to do with it? Am I living in a way that that gift is really profiting me? And is it a benefit to others? And all of us here that's here this morning, you've been to church, you've been to service. I'm not trying to put guilt on anybody, but there's been things that's been given. Testimonies, prayers that you've heard prayed, messages you've heard preached, Sunday school lessons that's been given, exhortations, Bible studies. We've been studying the book of Revelations here recently in the congregation, and I don't know, it's not any one of us doing the givings. It's just collectively we come and put in what we've brought. And are we all, what are we doing with it? Are we forgetting our goodie bag? Are we letting it really blossom and do what it intends to do? You know, the whole intent of a public education system is so that the general populace would be able to perform better in life as an adult. And you know what happened to our United States because of public education? People became more and more capable. And our nation became a very strong nation. And today, even though there's a lot of finger pointing going on, you know, one of the destinations that people in that's raised in foreign countries, you know what's on their bucket list? They want to come see the United States. They want to visit here. They want to experience it. They still, the people in the foreign countries, whether the people here believe it or not, people in foreign countries still believe that this is a land of opportunity. Why? We've been given some opportunities. We've been given liberty to cultivate and to nurture and to grow. I'd like to go to James, the first chapter, and notice what James says. And we'll be finished. James 1, in verse 23, it says, "For if any be a hearer of the word," anybody been a hearer? Have you heard the word read? Have you heard it preached? Have you heard something taught from the word? Have you heard it expounded? It says, "If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer." You know, I sat through those English classes and they taught me about those words that always trip me up. My English teacher had a irregular verbs. She had something else, a name she called them. go, went, gone. When do you use which one? Have, has, and had. You know, those kind of things. And I never could remember. I didn't get it. It's obvious. Y'all pick up on that kind of stuff when I'm speaking constantly. I know. Some of you, it's probably like twisting a knife in your back. I guess I'm sorry I didn't pay better attention. I should have learned. The gift that was trying to be given to me, I didn't prosper by it. But it says here, if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. I look at myself, my, you sure do look old, or you look young, or whatever it is, and you go away from that, it says in verse 24, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." So just as I can go away from the mirror and think, you know, I feel like I'm 25. And I know I'm not. Because I just saw what I looked like in the mirror this morning before I came to church. I combed my hair, brushed my teeth, shaved my whiskers, and I come to church. And I could be on the way to church thinking, well, I feel like I did when I was 25. I must be 25. Well, I'm not. Even if I forgot what I looked like. You know, the point of these two verses is, if we come and we hear the word, we see some areas, it's been a gift for the Lord to open up something to our understanding and for him to maybe put his finger on something in my life and says, that's who you are. Like Nathan did to David, you remember? When he came and David had taken Uriah's wife and Nathan said, you're the man. You know, sometimes the Lord speaks to us, and it might be in the message, and it might be in a Bible study, it might be some insignificant, there's not any insignificant people, but if there's an insignificant testimony, and somebody thanks the Lord for something he's done for them, and it's like, Lord, I need some of that. I need some of that victory that brother or sister testified about. I need to be able to handle my life like they handle theirs. Lord, I want one of them kind of victories. And then we walk out the door sometimes and we forget our goodie bag. You know, it's like the man that looks at his face in the mirror and then he goes and forgets just kind of what he was. It was a gift. Somebody brought their gift to the altar. Somebody brought their gift and poured it out here in the service. Somebody called us on the phone and shared something with us. Somebody wrote something and we read it in the one of the papers that comes here to the congregation or in our Sunday school quarterly, and it's like, oh, yeah, that speaks to my need and my situation. It's the goodie bag that we ought to take home with us. It's a gift to us. Just like Christ came to give us the gift of salvation, and I can forget my goodie bag and go home without it and not really prosper from it. I didn't prosper like I should have from my English and my grammar classes. I prospered a lot in my physics class, in my algebra class, in my geometry class. I prospered from my welding class. I prospered for that in that area a lot. I've retained a lot of stuff that I learned from that free gift of education that somebody else paid for. Jesus paid a price where I can be saved. He came into this world as a little baby and he experienced humanity like us. The scripture says he was tempted in all points. And any times I feel like I'm pushed to the limit and tested beyond reasonable testing, remember, the scripture says Jesus was tempted in all points like we are. But that's not where the verse stops. Yet without sin. He was able to do it and keep the victory. He was the just that was sacrificed for the unjust. And he came to give me the gift where I can rise above that. I can rise above a bad past. I can rise above my mistakes. I can rise above forgetting my goodie bag in the past, and I can go back and get it. And I can prosper thereby. And I can blossom into something that the Lord really intends for us to blossom into. And I can be a beautiful picture of what God came to do. I just want to challenge us and encourage us this morning. Don't forget your goodie bag. Don't leave the gift on the table. Don't disregard what's been handed to us and given to us. There are many people out there that have not had the opportunities that we have had in our United States, and that's why they want to come here. That's why that they're coming across the borders in droves right now, because they want to get in here. I doubt very seriously there's another country in the world that people's trying to get into as much as they're trying to get into here. And why? There's something, there's an opportunity here. There's an opportunity to better themselves. And the people that's born here look around and say, I don't see nothing. I wished I could leave. But none of them do. Lord, help us to take advantage of the spiritual gift that's been given to us. I want to prosper thereby. I want to grow. And I want to be able to show the world there's a better way than just following the things that the enemy tries to impact us with. You pray for me.